Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to the book of Acts, the first chapter. And I want to make some very important announcements here. We're preaching and teaching about the church growing. Well, we're doing it in a number of ways. I have two babies to announce, and I want you to know that William Paul Anderson was born to Michael and Carrie Anderson, born August 27th at 1:21 a.m., 7 pounds, 1 ounces, and big brother and sisters Floey, James, and Abigail, and proud granddaddy's over here, I think. Granddaddy's back here somewhere. Yeah, right here. And so don't we want to congratulate the Andersons on the birth of, and I think we're going to call him Billy, right? We're going to call him Billy. Also want to announce Silas Cade Mosching, born August the 23rd, 12:45 p.m., 8 pounds, 5 ounces, 21 inches, and big brother and sister Carly and Kobe. Let's congratulate the Mosching family as well. I tell you what a blessing it is. So you have the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're talking about the going in evangelism, the going in making disciples. All right, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Our title you have in your bulletin there is Going on Purpose. Now, we've kind of done a little reset. I hope that you have your bulletin, because there's an outline there that I want you to follow. The title of our series is On Purpose Together. And folks, we have to, as a church, from time to time, refocus on what is our purpose. And we need to eliminate everything we're doing that does not fulfill our purpose. We need to drill down and increase our labor in the things that God has called us to do. So last week we kind of did an overview, and we realized that the Lord has given us a number of scriptures that have guided us. First of all, the great commandment in Matthew 22 says, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." We know that we glorify the Lord by loving Him and by loving people. That's crucial. We also know the Lord has given us a commission. In Matthew chapter 28, we talked about this last week, and really this is the key verse of our purpose, being on purpose together. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 say, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So we are to be going, we are to be baptizing, and we are to be teaching. And we're teaching people to observe the things the Lord has taught us. So everything we do should be wrapped around those three mandates that the Lord has given His disciples in His Great Commission. Now, this week I'm expanding and talking about the going. This is the going part of the Great Commission. Next week I'm going to talk about the teaching part of the Great Commission. And then on the 13th, our anniversary, I'm going to be talking about baptizing, or the fellowship side of the Great Commission and the importance of it. We want to make sure that our life groups, our Bible study groups, all the ministries of our church work into this passion and work into this purpose. So today, as we look at the blueprint of a church, we talk about going. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." Now, we know that the imperative, the one imperative that we are to be about, that Jesus commanded us to do, was to make disciples. There are three phrases that are attached to that. If you picture an outline, think about make disciples, and under that's going, baptizing, and teaching, those three things. Even though those are not the commands, they carry with it a command sense. In other words, they carry with it the tasks we need to be about in order to make disciples. And so they come with great power to our lives. And so we have to judge ourselves in that way. So let's look at our outline. And first of all, let me read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was about to ascend back into heaven. This is the final commission we have recorded that Jesus gave to his followers. I think it is very clear what the Lord wants us to do. As a matter of fact, there are five commissions, great commissions, in Scripture, in the Gospels, and then here in the book of Acts. He reiterated it. It's recorded for us five times what's important. So as we think about the going, I've said to you before, and I say it to myself this morning, that the Christian life is a going life. It is a life in movement. It has always been the passion of God to go after people. The passion of God, even in the Old Testament, he said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, and in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It was never God's plan just to single out one nation, but he singled out the Jews, he singled out Israel, so that they might be a blessing to the nations. So let's just clear the air and say this. Every person on this planet, every person from every ethnic group in the world, God Almighty is after them. Amen, church? He's after them, and we are part of that mission that God has given us. So, who is to go? Is the your blanks there. Who is to go, all right? All followers of Christ are to go. In Matthew 4, 18 and 19, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. The truth of that passage to me says this: if we're not fishing, we're not following. If we're not going after people, we're not following. Church, we are to be going. Sometimes we think that the going part, and by the way, I don't only mean going overseas. I don't only mean going somewhere on some trip. What I mean is going every day in our life as we go. Going here in Gainesville, going across the street, going to our neighbors. Always thinking about people and how they stand, where they stand with Jesus Christ. But sometimes we think that the going is only for the missionary, or only for the staff member, or only for the pastor, or maybe for the deacons, or maybe for the Sunday school teacher. But no, it's for everyone. Leighton Ford was an associate to Billy Graham. I've loved studying the history of Dr. Graham and the great crusades that he's had. He had a number of associates, evangelists, that preached with him through the years. And so Leighton Ford was one of them. And in one of his books, he talks about a meeting that was in Nova Scotia, and he was going to be preaching. Leighton Ford was preaching, and then Dr. Graham was coming the next night. So Leighton was preaching, and Dr. Graham had gotten there a day early, and so he had on a hat and had on glasses. He was a little incognito, you know, you couldn't tell it was him. And so he snuck in the back of the meeting that one of his associates was preaching. And Dr. Graham says that there was an elderly man in front of him and who was really listening to Leighton Ford preach about Jesus. And so Dr. Graham wanted to do some personal evangelism himself. And so when Leighton Ford gave the invitation, Dr. Graham leaned to the man. He said, would you like to accept Christ? I'll go with you if you'd like to. The man thought for a while and he said, no, I think I'll wait until tomorrow night when the big gun comes in. That point reiterates the fact that sometimes we think that going is for the big gun. Preaching is only for the big gun. Sometimes we get the mentality that church is a place where we just try to get everybody in here so the pastor can lead them to the Lord. Don't get me wrong. Through the act of preaching, God saves people in the act of preaching on a Sunday morning. I pray somebody comes to Jesus today. But folks, we're the church gathered right now, and just not too long from now, we're going to be the church scattered. And it's not just the big gun, it's not just the Billy Grahams that are to lead people to the Lord or to go. It is all of us, and we have to become equipped to do that. The scripture says in Matthew 9 that we are to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. That word send forth means to thrust forth laborers. Dr. Leroy Imes, our deacons are reading a book by Leroy Imes on leadership. Dr. Leroy Imes says that one time he was preaching for a pastor and the pastor got him aside and said, Leroy, will you pray for me? He said, sure I will. What can I pray for you about? He said, I just cannot bring myself to share the gospel with anybody. This guy was a pastor. He said, all day long I go to an office and I sit inside of an office and I have an assistant out front and she screams all my calls so nobody can get to me. He said, I know that I'm supposed to be sharing. I know I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel, but I'm all bottled up in this office. Will you pray for me that God would send me out? Leroy said, I sure will. And he prayed and he talked about this word means to thrust forth laborers. He calls it boot them out. We need a kick sometimes to just get booted out into the harvest. Folks, we are to be going. Number two, where does the power come from? All believers are to go, but where does the power come from? In Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We need the Holy Spirit's power. The word for power there is where we get the word dynamite. It's the dunamis of God, the same word used for the miracles of the Gospels. In the Scripture it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Scripture it says, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, says the Lord. So where are we going to get the power to be sent forth into the harvest? We're going to get that power from the presence of God. Jesus has left us the Holy Spirit to enable us, to give us boldness as we share. All through the history of the Bible, all through Scripture, there have been people called to do things, and they were squeamish about it. They were nervous about it. And yet the Lord said, I will be with you. To Jeremiah, he said, I will be with you. To Gideon, he said, I will be with you. To Moses, who said, I can't speak, he said, I will be with you. To David, David said, cast me not away from thy presence. To the disciples, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And ladies and gentlemen, we have that same promise that as the Lord boots us out, as the Lord thrusts us out to go, he gives us his presence. In Luke 24:29, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So Jesus told the disciples, wait until the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll have power to do it. Jesus, the Bible says, returned in the power of the Spirit. In another place it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. In Romans 15 it says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, we didn't come with you with wise words, but we came with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So we are strengthened to do things that we may be nervous about doing. And church family, look at me right here. Let me say something to you. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary we've ever known, the greatest missionary of all history, opened up the work of God all over the world. In one of his epistles said this, pray for me that I will have boldness. Even the Apostle Paul was nervous about going forth. You say, well, I'm nervous about sharing my faith. Welcome to the club. I'm nervous about going. I'm nervous about being involved in that Bible club at Hidden Oak Elementary. I'm nervous about being involved in Awana and teaching. I'm nervous about sharing my testimony. I'm nervous about being a missionary. I'm nervous about this. I'm nervous. Guess what? Welcome to the club. God's people, when we realize we are to take the gospel to the world, there's a measure of nervousness, but the power comes from the Lord. And when we step out for Him, the Holy Spirit takes over. I've been wanting to tell this story about Josh. When Josh was a senior in high school, I took he and some other seniors to New York. We went on a subway, and there was a man there in a ministry called New York Gospel Outreach, and he said, "Hey, y'all want to preach on the subway?" And we looked at each other, and we said, I think the answer is supposed to be yes. But anyway, we said yes, and so he said, okay. And so he said, well, here's how you do it. You get on one of these lines, and you get all the way at the beginning of this line, and you get on right here because you got the whole line to go. It takes 20 minutes to get to the end, and it turns around and comes back. He said, you get over here, and when the doors close, here's what you do. And he demonstrated it. So you got on the subway, everybody's locked in, you're in a car, the place is packed, people standing up, you know, holding on, people sitting down, you know, and all of a sudden we get the doors closed and this guy stands up and he says, "Hello, my name is so-and-so and I've given my life to Jesus Christ and my prayer is that everyone in here would know Christ in a personal way. Me and my friends have a little gift we'd like to give each one of you," and so we passed out a little gospel booklet. "If anybody's interested, we'd love to talk to you." People just sitting there. The guy was preaching away, you know. And so and they can't go anywhere. I mean, it's like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, they're right there. I mean, there's no way they're going anywhere. And so anyway, so then we get to the end. And so he looks to the two teenage boys, Randy Drury and Joshua, with me. And of course, I'm there. I'm supposed to be their leader, right? So he looks to Josh and Randy. He goes, "Y'all want to do it?" Man, they're like, yeah, let's do it, you know? And so doors close, and those guys stand up. They give their testimonies. We pass out booklets. We get to the end. Then they look at me, and they said, "Reverend Carr, do you want to do it?" What am I supposed to say? So I call on the Lord. I say, "Lord..." They don't know this, but I was crying out to God. I said, "Lord, fill me with your spirit. Can I tell you something? What has God called you to do? You're nervous about it. Can I tell you something? The first time you get the word Jesus out, you will sense the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, the most powerful force on this planet, will invigorate you and give you the strength to do what God has called you to do." Those doors closed. And I said, "Hey, my name's Calvin Carr. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And I gave my life to Christ as a teenage boy. And my prayer is that everyone in this car would know Christ in a personal way. My friends here have some things we want to pass out." I'm so glad that I said yes to going. I don't know what God's called you to do. Maybe it's to be a leader in one of our life groups. Maybe it's to be a leader in the children's choirs. Maybe it's to be a leader in this choir. Maybe it is to get involved with a women's resource and medical clinic in our town, a crisis pregnancy center that is doing incredible work for the Lord. If I'm not mistaken, I think that work even started out of North Central in the old location. There are so many things that we could be doing on the campus, students. You say, "Well, it's in my heart. I'd love to get over with some buddies at the BCM and let's get on our knees and pray and let's ask God to help us and then go out on that campus and share Christ." We used to do that when I was a student at UF. Matter of fact, that sounds terrible to say we used to do that. I want to do that now. I want to get some of you, and let's go to that campus and do some questionnaires and talk. Maybe they'll talk to an old redheaded guy. I don't know. But the point is, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because once you go, you take that step. You know where your power is coming from? Your power is coming from the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Okay, what is our message when we go? Number three. So we know that followers of Jesus are to go. The power is from the Holy Spirit. What is our message when we go? We are to be witnesses. We tell what we have seen and heard. Witnesses to me, or my witnesses, your translation probably says. We are to be his witnesses. What is the message? Jesus saves. What is the message? Christ can save you. We have the gospel message. There are so many different tools that God has given the church in how to share their faith. We've recently gone over the little three circles that our friend down in West Palm has put together, and God's using that all over the world, the little three circles. You just take out a napkin, you learn how to share the gospel using three circles. We need to make sure everybody's equipped in that. But our message is that Jesus saves. We tell what we have seen, we tell what we have heard. And that's very, very important. 1 Corinthians 15 gives us a summation of the gospel. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. So our message, you shall be in Acts 1:8 from our key passage today, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. The old King James Bible says, witnesses unto me. Your version may say, my witnesses. In other words, the message is Christ. The message is the gospel. So, who is to go? The followers of Christ. Where do we get the power? We get the power from the Holy Spirit. What is our message? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Number four, where are we to go? Well, we're given an outline here. We're given some regions. We're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's where we're to go. Some have said this is an outline of the book of Acts, because that's the way the book of Acts was written. The gospel spreading from Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost. For us, that would be Gainesville, Florida, right here around our church. We've got to be faithful right here, church. We've got to love the people across the street. We've got to do everything we can do to get out of this building and get the gospel to the people right around this building and then in this city. And then Judea and Samaria may be our part of the United States, or it may just be the United States. And then to the uttermost, or to the ends of the earth. So that's where we are to go. But we start right where we are. And I would say this to you personally. You start right there in your circle, your family, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your associates, your acquaintances, and then perhaps to someone you don't even know whom God brings into your life. So we must be faithful to do that. So followers of Jesus are to go. The power is from the Holy Spirit. Our message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are to target here, our region, and then the ends of the earth. Number five, last thing, what does God expect? Faithfulness and fruitfulness. Now, this is a very important point. When we stand before the Lord one day, we want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we emphasize many times faithfulness. We should. I hope that one day it could be said of me, he was a faithful husband, a faithful pastor, a faithful Christian. But I do want you to know this, that the Lord has commanded us to be fruitful as well. We are called by Christ to bear fruit. John 15:16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. Church family, let me say something to you. One of the things that we need to think about in our church as a church family together and us as individuals. Listen, are we fruitful believers? Now you say, well, Pastor, I thought that the fruit meant spiritual growth. Can I say this to you? It does. But those that have studied this, and I have dug into this myself, the fruit not only means Christian character built into our lives, a Christ-likeness, but it also means, listen, the winning of people to Christ and the making of disciples. We glorify God by being fruitful. John 15:8 says, By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Being fruitful pleases God. It says in Colossians 1:10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitfulness is both the transformation of character. It's growing spiritually, okay? Fruitfulness is growing spiritually. But can I say this? It is also winning others to Christ. Church, let me tell you this. This is not a perfect measurement of this, but it is one measurement, and that is baptism. Can I just say this? We need to be winning people to Christ and seeing them baptized. Amen? I mean, we're church. Jesus Christ has called us to go and make disciples and to be fruitful. He has commanded us to go and win others to Christ. And so, therefore, we ought to be asking God, Lord, stir those baptismal waters. People have asked me, do y'all have a baptistry? Some folks have asked me, do y'all have a baptistry? And right under here, we have a baptistry. Now, Michael and I, and our, you know, sometimes we come in here and we get in this thing every once in a while and turn on the jets. Man, it's amazing. I'm kidding. We don't do that, okay? But it's like a jacuzzi in here, all right? You take the lids off. But can I say this, folks? It pleases Jesus when those waters are stirred. He's commanded us to be fruitful. It is both the transformation of character and winning others to Christ. So what is our core value as a church related to going? A passion for the unchurched. A passion for the unchurched. We should be adding those that are being saved. It should be our mandate. Now, there should be personal going. Each of us individually, there should be personal going. We have tracks. By the way, I have this commitment. Any track you ever find, if you want some, the church will buy it for you. I have determined that we will get the tracks that our people need. If there's something you want to hand out, if there's something you want to give to people, we had one college student wanted that, I don't know what they called it. It was like an infinity sign on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever seen that? And he said, I want some of those. And I said, how many you want? He said, oh, I don't know, about 1,000. I said, well, we ordered them. Randy Drury came to me one time. He said, I want 800, do you know what it means to be saved, tracks. I said, Randy, what do you want to do with them? He said, I want to send them to everybody in my school. I've got all their addresses. Praise God. This was a teenage boy that wanted to do that. So we got to personally be going. But I want to say this. We got to be organized to go. Hey, our life groups got to be going. I want every one of our life groups to have a mission. Life group is not just about us sitting around and saying, isn't it wonderful that we get to know each other and sit around? No, you know what? God has called us to have a mission. Get involved. Go. Be going as a person individually and then as a church family organized. There's so many different things that individuals could be involved in, life groups could be involved in. I mentioned the Women's Resource and Medical Clinic, Operation Christmas Child, Conversational English, Global Connection with groups and individuals. Our association here in our area does all kinds of outreaches in our community, joining with other churches. We've got a partnership over here with our elementary school. You know what we need? We need tutors. We need people building bridges to this school. I pray we could cover them up with love so that some teacher in that school, when they come to a place, they need God in their life. They need spiritual help. They say, I don't know where to go, but I just know that there's a church that has partnered with us and they love our school. They're here all the time. They care about this school. We need three people right now to help out in a Bible club that meets one day a week at Hidden Oak Elementary on the campus. The Supreme Court has allowed a Good News Club to be on the campus on Monday afternoon. We need three people to get equipped to help out in reaching children for Jesus Christ right now. There are all kinds of ways that we can be involved. Not just here, but in regions. We have been involved in church planting. Grace Harbor Church. Todd Burris was our guy. He went to Boston to plant a church. He's ended that ministry. The church is going on. He's back in Lexington. But we have been a part of that. We need to be more a part of that. And then we need to go to the ends of the earth. We need to give. We need to pray. We need to go. I told Josh, I said, Josh, you can't come unless you tell us we can come see you and help you. I didn't really say it that way, but I said, I want to know, can we come? So in roughly 18 months, we're going to send a group of our people to South Asia to help this couple right here. We're going to do something to help their work overseas. And so we need to be going. We've been on many, many places. Our college kids have been in a number of opportunities. Recently in Portland, Oregon, they've been to East Asia. They've been all over the place. And folks, we've got to do it. We've got to get 20 of our adults on the mission field the next year. We need to do it because the Lord has made us a going church. I'm going to conclude with this. William Booth wrote a little book called Who Cares? And he was riding on a train, and he was just sitting there, he's watching everything go by. William Booth was a founder of the Salvation Army. Jeff, where's Jeff Robertson? Jeff, every time I think about William Booth, I think about you because you're on the board. William Booth founded the Salvation Army, and William Booth was riding in a train, and he said, I got a vision when I saw the lostness of London. He said, I thought about it, the ocean, a dark and a stormy ocean. Over it, the black clouds hung heavily. Through them, every now and then, you'd see a vivid lightning strike. And it flashed with loud thunder. It's kind of like living in Gainesville, loud thunder and flashing. But then he said, I looked into the water and I saw the people up and down, crying out for help. They were drowning. And the waves rose and they foamed and they towered and they broke, only to rise and foam and tower and break again. And he said, in the midst of that rough water, people were perishing. But there was a rock. There was a stone that had come up into that water, and there were people that had a platform on that rock, and they were the ones that somehow had been saved from the perishing water. And he said, I saw all these people that were there. They had all been rescued. Some of them were helping others. They were coming up with better ways to get people from the water onto the rock. They were thinking of creative ways to throw a better life raft or to reach farther or to get something that would help be an implement to help people get on the rock. And he saw that. Everybody that was on the platform and on the rock had been rescued from the troubling waters. He said some were helping others, but there were other people doing other things. He said some were just going to lectures to hear about the state of those that perish. Some were busy with making gain and storing up things. And then he said this, some just amused themselves with amusements and dressing themselves to be admired. And then it said some just argued about those that had been rescued. But he said the saddest thing of all is some, they were on the platform and they were ignoring the Lord who was in the water saying, come help me in the water. The Lord was in the water saying, come help me get these people out of the water. But instead, William Booth said this. He said what really amazed him was that some, instead of saying, Lord, I'll come to you out into the water to help the people get on the rock, they were crying out for the Lord to get out of the water to come be with them and help them feel better. They were saying, Lord, we want you to come to us and get us out of here. We want to make sure, we want to get back to the mainland. And Jesus was calling. And then William Booth said this. He said, I think it is a picture. The Lord gave me a vision of the church today. And sometimes, folks, listen, we have forgotten what it was like when we were in that water. I know I say it a lot, but I can't help it. I remember being a teenage boy and wondering, what is life all about? I had done some things in some sports and stuff, and I thought, boy, this is going to really be neat, and it was a letdown. And I was about to be a senior in high school, and I knew I had my whole life ahead of me, and I wondered, Lord, what is life going to be like for me? Am I ever going to be married? Am I ever going to have children? Am I ever going to amount to anything in this world? And about that time, somebody invited me. And believe me, they had been after me. It was not the first time. They had been after me over and over again. And they invited me to go to a camp. And at that camp, I gave my life to Christ. And folks, everything changed. Everything changed. And I have to keep remembering what it was like because, folks, as we enjoy this place, we enjoy the fellowship and all that we do, we have to remember there's a world out there in the water. And our Lord himself is in the water. And he's saying, hey, church, will you come out here and help me? Because I want to get these people out of the water. Jesus saves. Church, we're on purpose. What's our purpose? We're on purpose with making disciples. One of the ways we do it is we've got to go. We've got to all go. So we find our place of service. We find our place of ministry. We ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit's power to go and share in our going. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.